Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Kid Stays in the Podcast. I'm your host. Restart. Reset.
Let's go. Okay, hang on.
Come on. Take two. You got an extra second to think of your name.
There's nothing.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Kid Stays in the Podcast. I'm your host, Trey Cooper, and joining me today, as always, is...
Sandwich Cooper, because I just ate a sandwich. And
does that have anything to do with the movie?
Nope. It has to do with what I just ate.
So you are just admitting that at this point, these names just suck.
No, dude, that was really good.
There's literally not even a sandwich in the movie.
You didn't see it, but I did. I saw it.
There's not one.
Looked delicious.
Joining me today, as always, is Solomon Cooper, and today we're going to be discussing would you call it a little comedy, a big comedy? I can't tell how well it's doing. I haven't been following the box office on it, but it is starring Jennifer Lawrence, and that is the movie...
No Hard Feelings.
No Hard Feelings.
Yeah. Indeed.
So this movie kind of came out of nowhere for me a little bit because I rarely find out about a movie at the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And we were watching, I think it was a horror movie.
And what horror movie have we watched in the theater?
It was a long time ago, like a couple months ago. I mean, what horror movie we watched at the theater? All of them.
I meant recently.
But all this, like, you know how they do all the red band trailers a lot of times before the rated R
films.
Horror films. And so they did the rated R trailer for Evil Dead Rise.
Mm-hmm.
And another Red Band trailer came on, and I was like, oh, what new horror movie is this? And it was just for like a raunchy sex comedy with Jennifer Lawrence. And honestly, I thought it looked hilarious.
Yeah.
So I've been wanting to see it. It has been out for a couple of weeks, so we're not like right on.
It has?
Yeah.
Did that like just released like yesterday or something?
No, it's been out for a couple weeks. But we had other things that we needed to go see instead. And this weekend happened to be slow because the only other options were Insidious: The Red Door. And we haven't really been a very Insidious focused podcast or focused family.
Well, we've watched the first two movies.
Yeah, but I think I fairly recently watch this first one with you again.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're a big fan of The Conjuring.
I love The Conjuring.
And of James Wan in general.
Yes. We also could have seen Elemental.
I refused to
watch
it.
And my dad said no. He said, I hate Elemental, even though Claude is in that movie and I love Claude.
But based on what? Is this just like some funny joke that like high schoolers have right now?
Dude, you just don't know about Claude.
Neither do you. You've never seen the movie.
Dude, he's this little earth guy. And he, you know what he does? He hits on the fire lady once.
But you've never seen the movie, so how's this guy like a meme?
Oh, I love him. No, dude, that's just what I told you about this. That's just what Pixar's marketing has been. They made like a fake TikTok being like the theater when Claude goes on screen and then it plays stock audio of people cheering.
Well, I just don't have the energy to discuss or review or conversate about yet another very mediocre Pixar movie.
What was the last... When's the last time we've done that?
Every time that Pixar has made a movie for the last however many years.
That's rude.
It's true, though.
What about Coco? That movie's good.
Yeah. Coco was like 6 years ago.
No way.
Yes, it was, or more. We lived in Dallas when we saw that.
What about Toy Story 4?
We lived in Dallas when we saw that too.
That's not that.
What about that movie where the guy's parents are just pants?
That movie was good.
That movie was
That was
okay.
his dad. That was their dad. They were saving his dad.
Hey, look, this is making it sound like we really don't want to talk about this movie.
Well, you're making it sound like that.
So let's talk about No Hard Feelings.
Let's.
So I'm not gonna even look it up. I could, but I'm not gonna do it, and I apologize to all the folks.
Why not? Involved.
You can look it up if you want to.
I left my phone outside.
I don't know anything about anybody in this movie
except for
Jennifer Lawrence and Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
There's a couple of cameos from semi-famous people, but mostly it's like smaller comedy character actors.
Sure.
And the guy that's in the bear, who's in Andor, whose name I also can't remember. See how unprofessional
this podcast
is?
Yeah, we're so good at this. We're actively not going to look anything up.
Because it's a comedy movie. I just don't feel like it's important. We're not going to be talking about the cinematography.
You don't know. You never know. Who directed this movie, Dad?
Some guy who I never heard of before.
Dear God. I saw someone important directed this movie, I'm pretty sure.
Someone important?
Someone who I knew, at least. I think that's cool.
Fine, I'll look it up.
Do you want to give a plot synopsis while you're looking this up?
Yeah, Solomon, give us a plot synopsis of No Hard Feelings.
So basically, this... let me just give you this plot synopsis. As you can see, I was right on top of it. I'm excited to give this plot synopsis. This girl, lady, Jennifer Lawrence, right? She is struggling with money, and
Her tar just got code.
Mm-hmm. Got code all the way up. So now, these rich people are giving away a car if they date their son, and they put
date in air quotes.
Yeah. And that's kind of it, you know. Then the movie happens, you know, things get a bit crazy, wild. Also, wait, their son is like 19 and she's like 32.
By the way, the guy who is from The Bear has the weirdest name ever, and I would never ever remember it.
What's his name?
It's Eben Moss Bachrock.
Dude, I love Eben Moss Bachrock.
Eben. Ebon.
So I said.
It could be Ebon.
Ebon. Is it Ebon? Like Ebon.
I have no idea.
All right, who directed this movie? Was it someone cool?
Gene Stupnitsky.
Stupnitsky.
He's from the Ukraine.
Oh, see?
Oh, you know what? I should have known that you're going to love this.
He didn't want to support our Ukrainian.
He directed The Office, but then he directed that movie that you really liked. I think it was the first kind of inappropriate movie you ever saw. Good Boys.
Oh.
Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, vaguely. Very vaguely. Yeah, I remember liking that movie, though. Cool. Was that a good plot synopsis, Dad?
I honestly didn't hear a single thing you said because I was so busy doing the looking up.
I feel like you're doing way more than looking it up.
No, I'm just doing...
I feel like you're obsessed with your phone right now. I should have never gotten it out.
I just was doing looking...
What's going on in there? Are you texting?
No, I'm not texting. I accidentally backed out of the thing.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, I did. No, for real. So besides, Jennifer Lawrence is always great. We've known this for a long time.
So you didn't even pay attention to my plot synopsis?
No, did you get it right? Do you want to do it again?
No, I don't want to say...
Can you do plot synopsis 2 even more synopsis here?
No, I can't. They already heard it.
Well, I didn't hear it.
Well, that sucks. You're a failure. I said the important bit.
Yeah, I did hear you say it. Yeah. I did hear you say it.
What are we doing?
You said she had money, and then she needed some money, and then these people asked a date. Because I remember I was going to chime in and say, they said date,
you
but
said
they said
that.
Date with air
you
quotes.
You did say that.
Oh, I did say it. I don't even remember what I said.
This guy is such a
this
bad
is what happens
podcast
when you're on your phone.
Number.
And look, that was all planned. Because this movie
exactly.
is all about not being on your phone because you can't be present.
Yes, and I'm so...
So you guys thought that we were just doing a whole thing.
Yeah,
that's
a little banter.
Of good actors we are.
Yeah, we actually wrote the skit right beforehand, so...
Yeah, hope it sunk in.
Yeah.
But yes, the movie has a very much subplot about how much it hates phones.
I hate phones.
Well, Ukrainian directors very much hate phones.
I actually really do hate my generation. We're always on our phones. We're always doing... garbage, trash all the time. I really just wish I could have lived in the 80s, bro. I was born in the wrong time.
But I
I'm just
in
such
the
an
80s
old soul.
And all of us are on our phones too.
No, you were in the 80s. You didn't live through the 80s. You were born in 84.
Don't give away my age.
I meant...
I was born in 89.
I meant...
Upside down 4.
Yeah.
Or 6.
I meant 2084.
Oh, no, no. Upside down 4 would be me born in 1980 chair.
Funny.
It was funny to me. But anyway, so like... this movie has pretty mixed reviews online. But comedy is very subjective. And based on what I saw in the trailer, I thought I was going to like the movie. And I thought it was going to be funny.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then based on what I saw on the screen when the movie was playing, I liked the movie. And I thought it was funny.
I agree. I thought it was funny, too. I was laughing.
Yeah.
At first, whenever it was first starting, I was like, am I supposed to be laughing right now? Because I was like, am I just going to sit here? I don't know why. I started like getting really anxious that I was just not gonna
not
laugh.
Gonna enjoy the movie.
Yeah, because no one laughed at like one scene. I don't remember what it was, and I kind of just sat there and I was just like, "This nothing is funny."
I will throw a bone to the folks who really hated it, and some of the people that didn't like the movie, like they hated it.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
They just thought it was not funny, and they thought that because of that, it was just a crappy
movie.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say like semi-romantic comedy. So I'll throw them this one bone, and that is the movie has the sensibilities of like a quirky indie comedy.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's shot feels like that, and the way that they kind of take very seriously the emotional parts of the movie, you know what I mean? And they're mm-hmm. and just like the whole feel of the movie, the general style and tone of the movie have that quirky, you know, like those videos that we've been watching.
Yes.
Where that girl's like talking about like in those like those kind of indie comedies that I always say they call themselves comedies, but you never actually laugh. You just sometimes give a halfway smile while you're watching them.
Sure.
So it has the style of one of those movies and a lot of the sensibilities in that it really wants you to care about these characters and love them.
Mm-hmm.
But it tries to ram that together with the Fairly Brothers style outrageous comedy like Dumb and Dumber or Something About Mary. And sometimes it really clashes badly. And sometimes there can be a little bit of tonal whiplash when it will move from a really poignant scene to a really kind of gross out scene.
Sure.
But I like both of them. So
it worked.
It worked for me.
Yeah.
What did you think? Did you feel like there was like a tonal clash there?
I never noticed any of that at all.
Really?
No. I just was like, oh, this is a fun movie. Funny movie. And I like the characters. I love the characters.
Yeah.
I thought they all did very good.
I was actually going to turn to you the first 5 minutes of the movie where, you know, she's talking to Gary about towing her car. And then she's hanging out with her friends at the restaurant. And her friend's husband's a dum-dum and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, like, sitting on the beach and smoking a cigarette. And the Native American guy, who I couldn't really tell, like, what his role is in her life. Is he her attorney?
That's right. That's what it seemed like.
I mean, I'm glad they gave him one extra scene because he wasn't really in the movie any.
Yeah, that was kind of odd.
But I almost leaned over and said, I'm already sad about this movie being over because I just could hang out in this loungy hangout movie kind of way with these characters for the rest of the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to kind of binge watch it. 8-episode show about these people.
Yeah. I really like the characters. I feel like they did a great job. And also, like, for this fun, like, comedy, silly, tiny, little, itsy-bitsy comedy. I keep saying a little, like a really condescending little a-hole. It's really annoying. But for this, like, funny and, like I said, outrageous comedy, the acting was, like, really, like, I feel like it was really good, you know, like, dramatic and, like whenever they, I feel like, they were able to match the tonal shifts.
Right.
And it was really good.
I mean, it was Jennifer Lawrence already has proven that she can be an action star. And she's also proven she can be funny before. But now she's doing like pratfalls. Like she's doing like slapstick
mm-hmm.
in a lot of scenes in this movie.
Yeah. And like crazy things.
Yeah. And she proves she could do that. And I want to do a shout out.
Let's give a shout out.
It's important because I want to give a voice to the voiceless movie stars who make billions of dollars getting to make out with Jennifer Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like those voiceless people need us to shout out for them because if we don't speak for them, who will?
Amen, Dad.
But yeah, that's what I was trying to look up. His name is Andrew Barth Feldman, and I'm sure he's been in things that I've seen. But he plays the young, you know, nerdy kid who she's supposed to be seducing.
Percy is his name.
Yeah, Percy. And based on the trailers, I was just pretty much assuming that he was just like going to be like the butt of the joke. You know what I mean? And then it's just going to be us just watching Jennifer Lawrence have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Jennifer Lawrence produced this movie. She's the one who made sure it got made. For some reason, she just like loved the script and, you know, really wanted to do it. And so she even agreed to star in it so that it could get made.
Yeah.
That's why you have her starring in a movie that very clearly normally would not have somebody of her caliber in it based on everyone who's surrounding her. Not. Again, these are bad actors. They're just not
famous.
Huge fame. Yeah. This is not one of those movies where the cameos are like Will Ferrell and Steve Carell and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You get one famous person and that's somebody who, no offense to Mr. Bueller, isn't exactly like the go-to guy in Hollywood right now.
Sure.
Even though I did find his, he didn't have a ton to do, but I thought his performance was really fun.
Who was he?
He was a dad.
Oh.
Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he didn't have a ton to do, but he was pretty, he had some fun.
He had some fun.
Some fun little scenes.
See what you're doing, condescending to Ferris Bueller.
All right, well, we need to take a quick break. Little we'll scenes. Be right back to dive even deeper.
So deep.
Into this deep, deep movie.
There was some things, and I would like to talk about.
All right.
and now, a word from our sponsors.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Kids Stays in the Podcast and our discussion of No Hard Feelings starring Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes, No Hard Feelings, which is a pun because it's talking about actual feelings and it's talking about other things.
Mm. For everyone who was listening, he pointed in his genitalia area.
I did not... Why are you trying to make this not a PG podcast? We are reviewing a rated R sex comedy, so...
Yeah, don't judge us.
I didn't push play on this, so now we have to take 10 seconds off of our time. All right, so yeah, let's dive into a really quick thing that I... Because you said that you didn't notice at all any tonal shifts that were bizarre.
Yeah, I'm just so blind. I just walked in there bumbling.
So they have this incredibly weird scene. I'm not going to say the movie should be meaner because it's a nice movie, and I...
appreciate that personally.
Really did. I appreciated the fact that the movie is really nice. But there's like this really weird scene where he is feeling hurt because he's found out that she's just doing this because her parents are paying him, you mm-hmm. know, classic rom-com or whatever scenario where someone makes this dare.
Yeah.
Is always what happens. So he finds out and there's this really weird scene where he starts being really cruel for her and then cruel to her
for
and like treating her like a sex worker. Not that there's any time to be rude to sex workers,
mm-mm.
but he starts being very mean to her and he's cruel. And then they try and play this scene three different ways. Each one of them works as individual moments, but I don't even know if it works as like a whole 5-minute segment.
What?
But I was there for it. Like, it was still funny and fun and heartwarming.
Describe it.
It's the part where he's, like, start being like, oh, you're supposed to have sex with me for a car, so let's do it. Come on, and let's do it now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do. And they do. And then they make it into another joke. And then they make it into, like, a gross-out comedy joke. So, and each one of the moments individually worked, but it was a huge, bizarre amount of tonal whiplash.
I didn't get any whiplash, though.
Well,
so,
what about the part where like there's the big grand moment of her tracking him down so she can convince him that she really does care about him, wants to be his friend, and then it ends with her like butt on fire, flying through a barbecue.
That's not how
pit.
That ends. He just ignores her. That wasn't like a big grand moment. He says
in the middle of a big grand moment.
It's not a grand moment at all. She's trying to have a big grand moment. She walks over there and then he says nope, nope, nope. Walks to his car and then is on fire afterwards. Then they have the grand moment.
It was so there was like a whole incredibly slapstick scene right in the middle of the two dramatic moments. I'm just saying, as an example, that's what I would say. Those like going from someone trying to have a heartfelt conversation to them smashing their face against the car window like a bug and then getting their butt caught on fire when they run through a barbecue pit is like you're doing two different kinds of comedies at once.
Sure.
So
I just didn't get any whiplash.
It's fine.
I didn't say it wasn't
maybe
fine.
It's because you don't have a spine. Is that about that? You rubber
that doesn't mean I wouldn't get whiplash.
How do you get whiplash if you have no spine?
Dad, if I slam my head and then my spineless body swung around like some chicken, I feel like I would still get whiplash.
I don't think you know what whiplash is now.
What do you mean?
That's not what whiplash is. Whiplash is like when you overly you keep starting and stopping and you hurt your back.
Your neck. And I guess your spine is there, but I feel like you would still like hurt your head.
We shouldn't even start trying.
Wouldn't it hurt your like brain?
That's not whiplash, though. That's just a brain injury. It's a concussion.
No. Like, if you get whiplash and then, like, you slam back and you go like that, doesn't it not, like, hurt your head?
Well, I'm sure it can, like, cause part of your spine or backbone to, like, separate from your
skull. I mean, like my head.
That
like,
has nothing to do with whiplash, though.
Okay, well, maybe I don't know what whiplash is. But I didn't get any there in this movie. Sorry that I don't know.
Anyway.
What real-life whiplash is.
It's fine. I'm not upset about that you didn't get whiplash from the movie. I also really, really liked the movie. I'm just, like I said, I was just throwing a bone out there for the people who actively didn't like
you
it.
You threw a bone from two segments?
Yes, I threw this bone so far.
So long.
You know.
Let's just talk about the actual meat and potatoes of this movie. Okay. Stop talking about the emotional whiplash.
I was just saying that I can understand. Imagine if you didn't think the movie was funny at all. And you saw it just veering between being, like, really goofy and, like, really sincere.
Sure.
But that's the biggest thing to me for a comedy. I thought it was really, really funny.
But so did I. I thought it was really, really, really funny. Really funny.
Oh, so you just added more reallys to how funny I thought it was.
I actually thought it was very funny. Very, really, really, very funny.
Like, there was, like, some of them weren't even, like, played. They didn't, like, play them, like, really heavily. Because, like, there's obviously some big gags, but there's, like, just little funny lines of dialogue that are, like, absurd. That, like, whenever he said, why do you want to adopt a dog today? And she said, because I can't have any dogs of my own. It's just the dumb line, but it's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some really, really, I love random things like this. Because, like, there was that scene with the skinny dipping, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she's skinny dipping with this dude.
Oh, I bet you did love this scene. I bet you loved it. I bet there's a really deep, mature reason why you loved this scene.
I wasn't even going to reference, wasn't even going to mention it. Actually, I have to mention it. So she's skinny dipping with this guy, and then these people start stealing her clothes, right? And then obviously she does the normal thing, which is go fight them. But she's fighting completely naked. But the funny thing is that she just walks back into the ocean with him. He's like, hey, so like, what's going on? And then starts being like super flirty after she just destroyed three children.
Yeah.
And that's like,
were children, but they're teenagers, but yeah.
Well, they're still considered children, I feel like.
Yes, but yeah, she just beats the crap out of them and then like immediately goes back into the water. Yeah,
that's the kind of tone shifts, but that was on purpose and they knew what they were doing with that one. I thought that was funny.
Yes, and I think that like some of the people that didn't like the movie actually said the movie has no sense of comic timing. And how you should film or whatever a comedy. And I think some of those people are buffoons.
Yeah.
Because I think that scene is a great example of good comic timing, not just from the actors, but in the editing and in the filmmaking, right? Because, like, it goes from him being in the water, and it's a little two-shot, right? Just their face is intimate. They're skinny dipping. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what could happen? And then it cuts to her of beating all these people up to get her clothes back.
Mm-hmm.
Normally in movies like where someone steals the skinny dipper's clothes, they just sit in the water and they're like, no, guys.
Yeah.
So, but they actually take it a step further and I guess fair warning for those of you who might be a little bit more prudish, But, like, she's completely naked.
Yeah.
And they don't shoot it like a lot of movies would, where you just show her face. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
No.
Or her face and shoulders. So they do that in a wide shot, so you're fully getting the impact of a full-grown woman
naked
who's
woman.
Naked beating all these kids up.
And it's like full fight choreography, too. It's awesome.
Yeah, and it's also funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it would not have been as funny if you weren't willing to do the wide shots, you know,
yeah.
and you just did the close-ups and whatever. So I think this movie does have a good comic sensibility. And honestly, I wouldn't change anything about it. Even the parts about it that are, I think, that don't work or the tonal inconsistencies, because otherwise we wouldn't have this kind of movie. It'd be too indie where it's not funny anymore,
mm-hmm.
or it'd be too Hollywood where and it's zany not, where it's not
it's
heartfelt.
Not, yeah, it's not like close and intimate with your character. You don't love your characters as much.
Yeah. So what did you think about the way that they developed the relationship between a 19-year-old
and a 32-year-old?
And a 32-year-old who, like, 19 is a very young age. Like, you age a lot even between, like, 19 and 24. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Did you think it was believable that their relationship, like, they cared about each other? Or?
Yes, I did. I did, Father. what? I thought it was just, I think it's really, I just think it's so cool. No, I need to restart my thought. Yes, I think it was really funny because they do have to connect these people. And obviously there is such an age difference, but I think it's equally as funny to watch, like, Jennifer Lawrence. She's having to, like, parent, but also be, like, really,
like, seduce him.
So it makes for this, like, really odd and kind of, like, uncomfortable kind of vibe, but it's still, like, really sweet.
Yeah.
And watching her also trying to be, like, young and, like, trying to do the young things, but then also seeing, like, young culture, like, when she goes to the party and starts looking at the people on their cameras and stuff.
Yeah.
And then she makes a gay joke and then starts getting filmed everywhere and getting recorded. I feel like there was just a lot of fun things that a lot of good, like, ways that they put these ages together, but, you know, still managed to create this, like, sweet vibe.
Well, and that's another, like I said, I cannot give enough kudos to whatever his name is, Shlomo Bumble Bing Bong. My phone went into silent mode, so now I don't have his name pulled up anymore.
Silent mode.
What is his name?
It went radio silent.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's what happens when your phone's in silent. It doesn't turn off.
It's so upsetting to me because the actual actor's name is no longer pulled up because you made me look up No Hard Feelings.
I did not make you look up No Hard Feelings.
Andrew Barth Feldman.
Mm.
Sorry, you made me look up High School Musical.
The musical.
But yeah, he was really good. And I think he did a really good job of playing, like, this sincere, sweet guy.
He was so good, and he reminded me so much of me.
No, he reminded me of me. Every time he was going out with her, I felt like every date that I've gone on as an adult.
I felt like him too. Also, he's super skinny and cool and nerdy.
Yeah,
and,
so
but he also
yeah,
but
so,
he also doesn't want to do any of the crazy, crazy, wilding things.
That's what's happening to you in your life.
What?
A bunch of, like, hot Jennifer Lawrence ladies are trying to
too
fast. They're trying to push the pedal to the metal too fast, and you're like, whoa, I just want to get to know you.
No, obviously not. But I feel like that's what I would do, and that's also what I wasn't really even comparing myself to him in that way. I meant, like, he's just, like, he's just, like, a little nerd, and he dresses like me. He's so cool. And he's so skinny and scrawny.
Cool is
just
not
like
the
me.
Way I would describe him, but I thought he was very good.
He's just like me, for real.
Also, Jennifer Lawrence did an amazing job of portraying somebody who you're supposed to believe has been living a hard life, you know what I mean, of just one-night stands, refusing to get close to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's doing the seduction scenes, the way she plays it is so over the top that it actually makes her character seem like really, almost like really innocent. Because it's so over the top, it's like she learned about how to seduce people from watching movies.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And that also, it really helps to, like, also, like, develop her, because you can really tell when she's being, like, so real, because you can just see the difference in, like, her mannerisms and, like, honestly, just her voice, because she goes to that, so how you doing, baby, like, that kind of stuff, to, like, hey, what's going on, you know?
When she's telling that kid to slap her butt. And he doesn't feel comfortable doing it, so he tries to use his feet, and he just kicks her over. That made me laugh so hard.
I just thought it was funny that he just went just like it really.
It was funnier than when he kicked her over.
No, that was so much funnier, was the slap.
They also did a pretty fun job of showing like the difference between his parents think that he's a loser and he's a whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But really it's because he has some issues, but really just wants to get to know people. He's not just trying to go out there and, you know, snag as many fish as he can from the sea.
Of course.
But her cynical nature versus his wide-eyed, youthful optimism, I thought they captured very well and often usually in a very funny way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't remember what she said whenever his, like, other friend that was, like, his age came up and was, like, hugging him.
Oh, yeah. She called her, like, a phony, fake B-word.
Yeah. She said, oh, I didn't know I ordered a phony bitch for dessert.
And he was like, no, it's just, she's a really nice lady. She's really nice.
That would make me, I laughed so hard. I was like laughing well after everybody else was done laughing.
It made me feel so, not you laughing. Well, sometimes when you laugh for a long time, it makes you feel uncomfortable. But no, it made me feel so uncomfortable when she said that. I was like, oh, that's so mean. Oh, I thought that was also really funny. They did a good job of making her like seem so rude at sometimes. And like actively making me feel uncomfortable. They did a lot of different types of comedy. They did that uncomfortable Michael Scott comedy. As you said, slapstick, you know, all kinds of different things in this movie.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't know if I can objectively say that it worked, but I can definitely say that I'm glad we have the movie that we have. And I really liked it. And I have not laughed that hard in a movie in a long time. Yes. So for all those people who didn't laugh at all, and I bet they just prefer to watch quirky, mumbly indie comedies where you just kind of half smile all the time, and that's what they think laughing is.
Well, then they would have laughed all the time. I'm sure they half smiled at some point.
Well, we're getting to the end. I'm going to ask you to give me what was the funniest part of the movie to you? What would you just give me one particular line or scene that you thought was the funniest?
I named so many parts. I can't think of another funny thing that they did.
Must not have been a very funny movie then.
I forgot them all.
We just saw the movie 5 minutes ago.
Dude, I know.
You walked out of the movie theater and into this podcast studio, and you can't leave another single funny thing.
Dude, I already named so many parts.
Well, I guess we'll finish it up. I normally would give this...
What's one funny line that you think was funny?
I just gave you the part that I thought was the funniest. When she calls that lady...
With the part where she...
Orders, like, phony biatch for dessert.
I don't remember. I'm sorry, guys. I can't think of anything. I can't think of any of the really funny lines. Well, actually, I'm doing it on purpose because I want you all to see this movie. I don't want to spoil everything.
What about
it's
whenever
funny.
He's at the restaurant and she's like, he starts quizzing her about that boy, that guy. And she's like, oh, did you want to have sex with him? I can have him come back over
That
here.
Was really funny, too. There's so many funny things in this movie.
Anyway, we're out of time.
But there was more stuff I wanted to talk about.
But we're out of time, though.
But he sings that Maneater song, and it's really cool how she, like, you can watch her feel the song hitting her so hard deep into her soul, watching how good and talented he is, but also knowing that she's the Maneater. And that time when they're breaking up or whatever, because he finds out, and then it does a fatality and rips his heart ripped out. Oh my gosh, what a good
I'm
mirror.
I'm glad you like the really overt symbolism.
I love symbolism.
Anyway, I would normally give a caveat review here and say if I wasn't being objective, I'd have to give it this and this, but I'm not going to do that because this movie needs some love and I really liked it, so I'm going to give this movie a strong 8 for comic value.
I'm just going to give it a 10 out of 10 comedies. 10 really funny comedy, super duper ultra comedy.
All right, we're out
full
a minute,
of comedy.
We're a minute over time now. So, what part of your bits do you want them to cut?
What?
What part of the show do you want them to cut out? Because you made us go a minute over time.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, cut out the part where Solomon says his terrible name.
No, then they won't know.
All right.
My name was Sandwich.
Until next time, check it out. No Hard Feelings, showing it at a cinema near
what
you.
What are you doing? Mid headphone takeoff. Check it out. It's really good.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.